I relinquish myself to you, O Lord. I relinquish my will to you, O God. I am wrong in my way. I am not perfect. You are perfect. You made me.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is God's Way is the Best Way and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
And today we're going to be talking about God's way is the best way. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, God's way is the best way. Now tell them, my way is the no way. I want God's way. Amen? We want God's way. Now listen, we're going to be reading out of Psalm 37, verse 5. So please turn to that. If you don't have a Bible, we have plenty of them over there for you to be able to have and to use. God's way is the best way. Key verse, Psalm 37, verse 5. Everybody, please stand for the reading of the Lord's divine word. I'll be reading out of the NIV today. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we just pray, Lord, that you will open up our hearts to receive your word, God, to obey your word, and to live your word out, God, and to spread your word. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. You may be seated. God's way is the best way. Our way is the no way. God's way is the best way. Let me tell you why God's way is the best way. First of all, when we relinquish ourselves to God, we'll start to see the blessings coming from God. Listen, the relinquishment. Psalms 37, verse 5 reads, commit your way to the Lord. Commit. How many people today actually have commitment to one another, let alone to God himself? Commitment. Commit your way to the Lord. Some Christians insist on clinging to their own ways. They lack spiritual victory because of this. They come to church and they hear the sermons. They turn on the television and they hear the sermons. They turn on the radio and they hear the sermons. And they know what they're supposed to be doing. They know what they're not supposed to be doing. But they insist on doing things their way. This is a lack of trust in a Christian. This is a lack of commitment. This is a lack of belief. And as we read our Bibles, we understand one thing very clearly, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when God looks down and he sees us doing the exact opposite of what he's asked us to do in his word, he sees lack of faith. Because if you do not believe in somebody, you will not follow them. And if you're not following somebody, it's probably because you don't believe in them. Of course, there could be other reasons why people don't commit themselves to the Lord. It could be laziness. It could be just plain simple rebellion or excuses. I can't do that, God. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can I not? So commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way. Come to God and say, Lord, show me your way and give me the strength to commit myself to you. I want to do the right thing, but I always can't. Be honest with him. Tell him. He already knows anyways. Commitment. Committing your ways This isn't about impressing your fellow Christian. This isn't about impressing your pastor. This isn't about being good for the sake of being good. This is about acknowledging that God's way is the best way. And ultimately, it's the only way. Because God's way leads to life everlasting. Anything that man dreams up goes straight down the drain eventually. Nothing that we do is everlasting. Only God is everlasting. So commit your way to the Lord. If we are to enjoy God's best, we must yield our way, our will, our work, and even our very lives to Him. We are to live in Him. To live in God is to know His Word, to study His Word, to understand His Word, and then to obey His Word. We are to live in Him. Colossians 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Oftentimes people say, well, I believe in God and I accept God, but I'm not going to live in Him. I'm not going to come to His house on Sunday. I'm not going to study my Bible during the week. That's not living in Him. Imagine if you married somebody and you refused to live with them. The marriage would be in a lot of trouble, would it not? There'd be a lot of turbulence in that relationship. There would be no communication in that relationship. And trouble would soon come. And the relationship could fall apart if there is no commitment. There has to be commitment, and there has to be the will to follow it through. You can't just speak the words, God, I want to come to you today, and I want to start a new life with you today, and then do nothing about it. God's not going to do everything for you. It's a two-way street. It's a relationship. To walk in God's way and please Him means we must totally commit our time, talent, and treasure to Him. Totally. We can't look at our lives and say, God, this is what I'm going to commit to you. But there's some things over here that I don't want you touching in my life. There's some things over here that I really don't trust you with, Lord. That is not total commitment. That is not total surrender. When there is something in your life as a Christian, talking about Christians here, when there's something in your life that you have not surrendered to God, He's going to talk to you about it. He is going to nag you about it. Not in the sense that the world knows nagging, but every time you come to Him and you start praying to Him, He's going to remind you of the area that you're lacking. Not because He's a mean God, not because He's a nagging God, but because He's a loving God. If there's something in your life that's hurting you and or others, He's going to talk to you about it. He's going to speak to you about it. He's going to bring it up. And people who are not totally committed to God have a tendency not to pray as often as they should. They have a tendency not to come to church as often as they should, because they can hear that little voice telling them where they need to grow. And it is a growing process. I understand that. But it all starts with surrender. It all starts with the Christian getting up and saying, I relinquish myself to you, O Lord. I relinquish my will to you, O God. I am wrong in my way. I am not perfect. You are perfect. You made me. Who am I to tell the potter how to shape the pot? Amen. Relinquishment, surrender, give yourself over to Him. Say, your way, God, your way, not my way. My prayer is often, Lord, don't let me mess up. Don't let me have my way, because I'll mess it up for myself. Stop me, because I am a goof up. I seriously, honestly pray that many times. When I am in a situation that I don't know which way to turn, I pray for God's will in my life because I don't want to be out of His will. Some of us might think that being out of God's will can be a fun thing when they see something out there in the world that they want or think they need. But let me tell you what. Anything that is not God's will for your life is something that you ultimately do not, will not want. We should be ready to assist the needy and homeless and comfort the bereaved and lonely, sharing Christ with others whenever opportunity affords. Now, see, sometimes it's easy to help a person who's homeless because you wouldn't want to be homeless. And sometimes it's easy to assist the needy because you wouldn't want to be needy. But there's this last part here, sharing Christ with others whenever the opportunity affords. Many Christians today are not equipped to share God's word. They're not equipped spiritually because they're not studying the word of God. They're not fellowshipping with other Christians. They're not attending church on a regular basis to be filled with the Spirit of God, to get knowledge of the Word of God. You share the Word of God with someone who's never heard about Jesus, or has never understand, who has never understood the message of Christ. You share that with somebody, and you've done a world of difference for them. You've done a world of difference. But see, we have to relinquish ourselves. Some Christians are afraid to approach people with the gospel. Some Christians can be selfish and not help the homeless or not be there when someone has taken a loss. They're too busy. They don't have the time. They don't have the resources to give. Amen. But now listen, there's something else about God's way being the best. It's called the reliance. Now listen, we're in Psalm 37, verse 5. Trust in Him. Everybody say to your neighbor, trust in Him. Trust. Trust. A simple word, isn't it? Oh, but I tell you what. If I had a nickel or a dime for every time somebody came up to me and said, you know how many times I prayed and God didn't give me what I asked for? Did you ask for His will? Listen, trust isn't about getting whatever you want out of God. I wouldn't want a friend like that, and God don't want friends like that either. Because you don't even know what you want out of God when you're coming to Him. Oh, you might think you do. You know what you desire. I know what I desire, but it's not always what I want. Our desires can get real messed up in our heads sometimes, all the way down into our hearts, till we don't know up from down. But listen to this. Christians often fail to trust in the Lord as they should. They rely on their own strength and they fail. Perhaps God has told a Christian what to do, but He hasn't yet told them how to do it. And impatiently, they don't wait on God. They go about doing it their own way. Or perhaps they're in a situation with another person and they know what God's word says about patience and temperance and love and compassion, but yet they insist on doing it their own way. No, Christians often fail to trust in the Lord as they should. We do. We do. We pray and we walk away instead of waiting to hear the answer that God has. Oh, but God takes too long. Or He's never answered me before. I just can't hear God. Prayer is a conversation with God. Not a speech that you give to Him. Not a speech. Nobody's dictating to God. We should be quick to listen and slow to speak, especially when we're being in front of the Lord petitioning Him. We are to be still in front of the Lord. Trust in Him. Believe. Believe that if you're connected with God through the Holy Spirit, which Christians are, that God is going to answer you. Is it going to be the answer you want? Is it going to be the answer that you desire, that you think you need? It's going to be the answer that conforms to His will for your life. And you may not understand that answer. You may not like that answer. But if we trust in Him, we'll understand that the answer is the best way. It is God's best way for our lives. Because we see to the corner, but we don't see around the corner. So we know where we want to go, but we don't always know where we're going to end up. do we? But God knows where we're going to end up with every corner, every turn, every decision that we make. So sometimes it doesn't make sense, and that's why we have to trust in His way. We have to trust in Him. That's the reliance part of this. Some Christians depend too much on doctors and lawyers and friends, and I understand that when you're sick and you have access to a doctor, by all means go. I don't preach that gospel where I tell people, don't go to the doctor. You got the means to go to the doctor, you go to the doctor. But you pray. You pray while you're going to the doctor. You pray when you're going to seek legal help. Doctors don't know everything, and they're human, and they make mistakes. They misdiagnose and they mistreat. And I'm not saying that about doctors in general. I'm saying that they're human beings, and possibilities of them doing that is true. Lawyers the same way, and our friends are the same way. I have some very good friends, but they're not perfect, and they make mistakes. And sometimes their opinions don't line up with the Word of God. You can't depend on people as much as you can depend on God. Reliance, trust in Him, knowing that He's got the right answer. We should be thankful for the help of others, but our ultimate trust must be in God. Our ultimate trust must be in God. Lord, I thank You for my friend's advice, and I pray, God, that if this is the correct advice, let me know. Show me. Or bring me to the right lawyer, or bring me to the right doctor. Guide my footsteps. Trust in Him. God is faithful, and so must we be. See, it's not just all about God being faithful. We're His children, and we're to be faithful too. Mark 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all of your strength. Note that word, all, mentioned three times. All, not some, not a little bit, not what you think you can spare. All of it. Listen, we were bought with a price. And when you buy something, you own it. So if Jesus bought us with His blood, guess what? If we accepted Him, then we are now His bond slaves. A bond slave is a person who willingly goes to the master and serves them. We weren't forced into this. We were not forced into believing in Jesus Christ. The true Christian comes to Jesus and says, I have sinned and I deserve death, but I'll accept Jesus Christ as that payment to You, Lord. Guess what? You were just bought. So now you must do the next thing and you must surrender. But see, God doesn't want puppets. Listen, He wants you to love Him with all of your heart, because He loves you with all of His heart, with all of His soul, with all of His mind and all of His strength. There is nothing that God held back from His creation. He poured it all out in Jesus. Poured it all out. Could have kept it for Himself. Things were going fine in heaven till we showed up and messed up. He could have hogged it all to Himself. He didn't do that, did He? We're to be like Jesus. The word Christian is Christ-like. If God did that for us, then we need to do it for Him. We already know that we deserve death. We already know we've been bought out of that. We should be real thankful, because I guarantee you, if you were on Skid Row and they were coming to call your name and walk you down that hallway, and at the last minute somebody got you out, you'd be on your knees kissing feet, especially if you saw that needle heading for you and that room they put you in and that gurney they strap you in. And then at the last minute, somebody says, no, I'll save them. You'd be kissing that person's feet. You'd be hanging on their pants. Yeah. No, you know that's the truth. But see, I'm telling you, faithfulness is so important to God. Because without your faithfulness, God can't work through you. How is God going to love somebody through you or me or any Christian who's not faithful to him? How is he going to do that? You certainly aren't going to get any enjoyment out of it because you're not even loving God. So how are you going to have the joy of loving another person? Listen, when we love other people, not just in our hearts, but in our actions, in our words, what we speak to them, what we do for them, the time that we give of ourselves to them, that's loving God. Because God loved us in action through Jesus Christ. Agape love. Bank accounts may fail, money markets may fail, possessions may fail, but Jesus never fails. You can take everything away from me, but let me have my Jesus. I wouldn't want everything taken away. We need some comforts in life. We need them. There's some things that we need. There's certainly some things we don't want to do without. But I cannot do without Jesus. I will not do without Jesus. If you got to take everything, leave my Bible. Because Jesus is there in the dark pits. There ain't no pit that Jesus can't climb down in and lift me up out of. Even if I'm physically still there, he can still lift my spirits out of it. God's way is best. The scripture says, Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Oh, I love this scripture. Because when I am weak in spirit, I read this, and it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Stop. Look around and ask yourself, am what I about to do, is what I'm about to do acknowledging God? Or am I putting God to the side while I'm going to go off and do this? Because I tell you what, you acknowledge God in the direction you're about to take, and he will tell you whether or not you're going the right direction. He will tell you. But see, people don't want to acknowledge him when they know they're going the wrong direction. Listen to this. If you're going the wrong direction, you ain't going to be talking to God about it. You ain't no fool. You already know what he's going to say to you. But if you acknowledge him, he's going to make your path straight. He's going to tell you, don't tell that lie. Don't steal that item. Don't backstab that person. Don't talk about that person behind their back. Don't gossip, whatever the case may be. But see, if you don't acknowledge him, you're not going to hear that still small voice in your spirit. And so how can he make your path straight if you're not acknowledging him? And you can't acknowledge God if you don't know his word. How do you know what God is saying to you? How are you going to recognize his voice if you're not studying the word of God? You got to know the word of God to live the word of God. Why do you think he wants you to read it so badly? It's not for his sake only. It's for ours. Pick it up and read it. You want to hear God? Read his word. He's got a lot of things to say to all of us in it. Oh, but now we're here to the reward. What's in it for me? The last part of this scripture, 37 verse 5, says, and he will do this. He will do this. What will God do? God rewards those who are totally committed to him, who trust him implicitly. Trust. There's that word again. Trust. Well, I trusted my boyfriend and he hurt me. I trusted my girlfriend and she hurt me. I trusted my mom and she betrayed me. We're not talking about people. We're talking about God. Your friends are going to hurt you, given enough time. Maybe not on purpose. Your family can desert you. Your resources can run out. But listen, you throw yourself upon God, and you got an everlasting resource that will never leave nor forsake you. Hebrews 11:6 And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. You want to make God happy? You want to make God happy? Have some faith in Him. Come up to Him and say, I know the circumstances look bad, but my God is bigger than that. I know the outlook is dark, but my God is a beaming light. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. Oh, listen to this, guys. A lot of people say they believe in God. But as soon as they start praying, they start getting this feeling no one's listening. Nobody's listening to this prayer. That's the devil talking. He can't hear you. He's not there. Listen. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Now, you know why we have to earnestly seek God? Because our faith is weak. Our flesh is weak. We have to earnestly seek Him. We can't just come to church and say, well, let's hear a prayer and hear a song and hear a sermon, and I got God all wrapped up inside of me. No, you have to earnestly seek Him, because your flesh does not want God. Sorry to say it, but the flesh does not want God. In fact, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit within you, you wouldn't even love God, because it's through His Holy Spirit that you were even able to do that. Read your Bible and you'll see that I'm telling you the truth. It is God's Holy Spirit that equips you to love Him. But if you're not feeding your spirit, you are on a hunger strike. You ever see somebody go hungry for a long period of time? They make some weird mistakes, don't they? Or somebody that's too tired. They don't say the right things at the right time. They don't do the right things at the right time. You starve your spirit long enough, and the devil will have you wrapped around his finger. Even if you are a Christian, he'll mess you up. He tried to do it to Jesus when Jesus was hungry in the wilderness. Tried to tell Him to selfishly use His powers to turn the stones into bread. As you read the Gospels, you will understand that Jesus never did one miracle to benefit Himself. Not one miracle did Jesus do to benefit Himself. Even the resurrection was to benefit us, because He rose from death. We too shall rise from death. But the devil was trying to tempt Him when he got Him hungry enough to do the wrong thing. Now listen, God will do this. He will reward you. It may not be the reward that you started out wanting or desiring. It may be something totally different that you never thought of, but yet when it shows up, you're thinking, wow, God, I never even dreamed to ask You for this. Thank You. And then God says, well, listen, you earnestly seeked Me. You sought after Me earnestly. You chased after Me and you found Me. Not that God is lost. I hear people say, I found God. Ultimately, we know that God is the one that finds us. But listen, we have a part in this. Because listen, we got to have faith. And without faith, you're not looking for anything. It all starts with faith. You got to say to yourself, I know You're real, God.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.